show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. We are so glad you are along with us because we have got an outstanding lineup. Our very first guest, well, we're going to go straight up I-35. We're heading into Norman, Oklahoma. We're going to get the pulse on the Sooners and how things are coming together with spring practice. Of course, this Saturday, it is the big spring game. And Oklahoma, here they are halfway through their spring drills. And what's been interesting is just how tightly not a lot of details have come out, but our guy that always provides the best information on Sooner football, of course, is James Hale. He is the senior writer with OU Insider, and you can listen to him 5 days a week in Norman, Oklahoma on Sports Talk, KREF 1400 AM. James, it's great to have you back with us.
Well, thanks, Elissa. Hope things are going well with you, Big E. And, in this day and age, you know, it seems like more colleges close down spring and, you know, they cut off local media access more than ever. But, you know, I keep my ear to the grindstone, so I think I know what's going on.
Well, you are the leading sports journalist when it comes to Sooner football. Everybody knows that, not only regionally, but nationally. And, James, it is interesting just how much it seems that things change. You know, the practices are closed. There's very little media access. What kind of insight can you provide on Oklahoma, and what can we anticipate?
Well, you know, I think Oklahoma's had a really good spring. They haven't had any major injuries, even though it's been frustrating on the defensive side of the ball. They've been without key players like David King in the defensive line, Stacy McGee in the defensive line. Those two guys are, you know, key players, and they play a lot. Casey Walker at times has been their best defensive tackle. He's a senior, you know, but he had shoulder surgery, and he hasn't practiced one down during the spring. Early in the spring, Geno Gresham, you know, broke a bone in his, I think it was his big toe. So, he missed most of spring, and boy, talk about a guy that needed the spring, it was him. He's really talented, but he hasn't played a lot of football. And Aaron Colvin had surgery right after the bowl game, and he's a key member in the secondary with a new secondary coach and Mike Stoops. Coming in as the defensive coordinator, DB coach, he really wanted to see Aaron, but Aaron hasn't been out there. So that's given opportunities to a guy like senior Lamar Harris, who's really had a good spring, to a junior like Gabe Lynn, who was hot and cold last year, had a couple of games that really he didn't play very well then, but he also had a couple of games he was a physical tackler and showed up really well. And this has given him a new start back there. And what Mike has decided to do, he's decided to put Tony Jefferson at the free safety spot and leave him there. So Tony had been playing that Roy back, but that's opened up a spot for Gabe Lynn, who is a very physical defensive back, has some size to him, close to 200 pounds, and that's a position that he can play pretty well. So on the defensive side of the ball, they're missing some guys. And while on offense they don't have a great deal of depth, at receiver and even at running back, they have a lot of depth in the offensive line. And, of course, Landry Jones returned. And I don't know if that was good news for the Drew Allen family or the Blake Bell family, but, you know, when Landry came back, it made Oklahoma a national title contender right off the bat once again. And that's about all they can really ask for. So, you know, I think by all accounts, the camp has been really a good camp. They're happy with it. They're pleased where they're at. I think they're really happy with how things are going, they haven't had any major injuries in the camp, so that's good news for them.
And as I understand, since you bring up Landry Jones, the quarterback, he is spending a lot of time with George Whitfield, and this is what a San Diego-based quarterback guru that really even helped Andrew Luck prepare for the NFL Combine, and he's worked even with Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, he spent 1 week with him. Instead of going down to the beach, look at sexy women like you, you know, drinking Mai Tais and everything.
Whatever.
he decided to go to work, and he went to, I think they were in Palo Alto because they were in the Bay Area. I was kind of confused where they went because, you know, George kind of works out of Oakland and a lot of different San Diego, and he kind of moves around. But Andrew Luck was getting ready for his pro day, and so I think Landry and his father went there to meet them. And Landry worked hard. It was 4-hour practices every day. So while some guys were at home or at the beach or on vacation, Landry kept working. And, you know, the idiotic thing about, you know, the way that the media is structured today, you know, a guy blogs something or he tweets something and, you know, things get out there. And, you know, the media around here, and I'm always careful how I say this because I'm a member of the media, but, you know, a lot of people try to make this out as a negative thing, that OU was mad that he didn't let Josh Heupel know and he didn't let, you know, Pop Stoops know. He's, all of a sudden he's become a wildcat because he's decided to come back and he's bigger in the program, by God, and he's just going to go work out somewhere and he's going to learn new things because he's not happy with how things are going. And of course, none of that was even remotely true. The first person he discussed this with was Josh Heupel. The first person he got an okay from was Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel informed the head coach, who said, great. I mean, what's better? A guy drinking Mai Tais on the beach or a guy working out with a quarterback guru in California? Oklahoma does a great job with their quarterbacks. Right now, I think Oklahoma's as good a quarterback school out there. Had two quarterbacks in the Stoops era win Heisman trophies, and another finishes a runner-up. If Jason White didn't have two blown ACLs that he rehabbed from and one of the most amazing stories in college football, he would have been playing right now in the National Football League. And, of course, Sam Bradford was the first player taken in the draft, and he is playing in the National Football League. And Landry will be a first-round draft choice last year, and he would have been in this year's draft as well. So the fact that he has decided that this year he's all in, he's going to work every moment, he's going to put all this great effort in, and he's going to get married in July to an end. So that's going to be his vacation, so to speak. And he's just working hard, and I've never seen something, a story, so distorted. Well, I have. There's been a lot of them like this, but it was really disturbing to Josh that it was made out like he would be upset about this or that he was disappointed in this. And, you know, when I talked to George Whitfield, George told me that he was really impressed with the foundation that Landry had, that the foundation and the basic quarterback principles that he had picked up from Josh and in the Oklahoma offense and from Coach Stoops' program. And he couldn't praise those guys enough. And he was just wowed by Landry's, you know, feet work. He just kept bragging on his feet how, for a big guy, you know, he's got great feet. He said he had wide receiver feet. Now, he doesn't run fast, but he's good in the pocket. And his main goal for going out there, he was to work on pocket presence, keeping his poise, keeping his fundamentals in the pocket. When he's getting past rush, he wanted to be able to keep that ball high, and he wanted to work on those fundamentals. So that's what they did for an entire week. And as Josh told me, he goes, why would I be mad about that? Right. It makes all the sense in the world. If every coach could get their offensive linemen and everybody to keep working over spring break and go to get some pro coaching, I think they'd all dig it.
You are listening to the voice of James Hale. Of course, he is the senior writer with OU Insider, certainly one of the leading sports journalists when you talk about Sooner football. And let's shift avenues here a little bit. Let's talk about some defense. You know, the return of Mike Stoops. He's back running the defense since 2003. And I want to kind of compare and contrast. I mean, how different is his approach than Brent Venables? I mean, why should we believe that he's going to be much more successful than Brent? Because Brent did have a great run there.
Well, and they're all family. I mean, they've all grown up together. Brent basically was adopted by the Stoopses. Brent lived with Mike Stoops at Kansas State. They're very, very close. They were co-coordinators when Bob first got to OU, and they built that defense together, and they built some of the best defenses we've seen in college football. They were tremendous. That national championship year, that's Brent and Mike coordinating defense. When Mike left, Brent became the defensive coordinator. When Mike became the head coach at Arizona. And Mike was hoping to come back. If he had to come back, if he wasn't going to be a head coach anymore, he was hoping to come back and work with Brent again. You know, Brent just felt that at that time in his life, he needed to accept an opportunity and kind of break away and do something on his own. So he took the job at Clemson. Now that put Mike into a little bit of a pickle, and that Mike was hoping that Brent would get him up to speed. Well, I know he and Brent talk all the time, and it is like riding a bicycle, getting back on that bike. When we all get back on a bicycle at our age, you know, we don't quite go as fast as we did when we were 14. And so it's been kind of a little bit of a shock for Mike coming back in. But what Mike decided to do, because facing the spread offenses that they face in the spring, and Brent was really scheming. He was scheming every week, coming up with new ways to defense those magnificent offenses that you have in the in the Big 12. And he was still running the Oklahoma zone cover two defense. Boy, he had modified it a bunch. And, you know, maybe he modified it to the point that the college kids didn't always get it. You know, Oklahoma had some major bust against Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma really couldn't stop them. Of course, the offense gave them 14 points on turnovers, easy points. You know, but it was what Mike decided to do was to start over. He basically said, this is our basic 4-3 defense. We're going to build it from here. And he's added defense every day since then. But he's basically gone back to basics and told them, play football. If you cover your basic spots here, you should be able to stop opponents. Cover that slot receiver. Cover those guys twisting. Cover that guy on that fly pattern. I mean, come on, where's our bracket coverage? This is basic stuff. So he's gone back to basics, but he's added stuff, and he's added stuff in a hurry. You only have 15 days here in meetings every day. He says he's got about 65% of the defense in. He says in the spring game he'll show about 15% of it, but he says that things are coming along. And, you know, he told me that, you know, they keep saying he's simplifying things, I was talking to him, he said, you need to let people know that we're not simplifying things. This is spring. We're going back over fundamentals. We are going back over the basics, because I expect them to know everything that they were working on under Brent, too. He goes, now I don't know if I'll do some of that stuff. He goes, Brent is a magician at scheming defensively, schematically, coming up with things that can match up against offenses. Mike's not into that as much, even though he can X and O's with the best of them. He's into modifying and improving the cover two Oklahoma defense that the Stoops family brought to Oklahoma that a lot of teams use, and make it better to face whatever offense they're facing. So that's been the kind of eye-opener it's been for him. And he's grinding every day, man. You know, the head coach has to kiss babies all the time, you know? In this thing, you're grinding all the time, calling recruits. It's a different animal for him, but he's one of the best coaches in the country, and he's having fun, I think.
Well, I love hearing that. You know, back to basics, back to fundamentals, and refining the things, getting a good foundation in place. And, you know, James, it is hard to believe the NFL draft is literally 2 weeks away. We think of some great ones that were a part of Oklahoma, Ronnell Lewis and Frank Alexander. Who's going to fill those slots?
Well, you know, we had Pro Day today, just a few minutes ago, in fact, and Ryan Broyles. You know, Ryan's 4.5 months-y from ACL surgery.
Wow.
Not 6.5, not 8.5, not a year. He's 4.5 months. So he vertical jumps 32 today. He runs 2 40s, one at 4.59. That was his first one, the second at 4.57. Then he ran pass routes with Joey Halsley, the former backup quarterback, who's now the graduate assistant on the offensive side of the ball at OU. And Joey was throwing him passes. He ran a quick slant, which he ran a million times at OU and had about 74,000 yards on. He ran an out route showing that he could cut off the surgically repaired knee and made it. And then he ran a skinny post that was about 20 yards downfield. Then he ran a fly pattern that he ran about 50 yards and caught a deep ball from Joey. The scout for the Indianapolis Colts walks up to Jay Norvell, who's the co-offensive coordinator and wide receiver coach at OU, that, of course, coached Ryan. And he said, hey, we've seen enough. We don't need to wear him out. We don't need to have him run tired. He looks like Ryan Broyles with us. We're fine. Everything's cool. So Jay walked down, and it was the biggest smile I've ever seen from Ryan. Ryan's given some big smiles, but Jay said, hey, they said they've seen enough. They think you're good. And he went to Jay, of course, that's his coach, and he said, did they like it? He said, hey, Ryan, they loved it. They think you're good, man. Don't worry about it. And, that was such a great moment to be. It was at like 7 yards from him. It was really cool to see his expression. He just put his head in his coach's chest and said, oh, God, thank God. And, he was really excited. He wanted to show him more. He wanted to work more, but he didn't need to. So that's good news. That means the pro scouts that want to draft Ryan Broyles, that are looking for that kind of receiver, they know now they're going to have a healthy receiver. Ron L. Lewis improved himself at the combine, did a great job in the interview process, and, of course, did a great job athletically. Frank Alexander, of course, you know, went to the combine and was told they thought they saw something in his heart, and they didn't want it. They weren't going to let him work out. Of course, he got a second and third opinion and had a good pro day, I thought. I thought Donald Stevenson helped himself at the pro day. The starting left tackle for OU the last 2 years, a real athletic player. James Hanna at tight end impressed him. You know, Kevin Wilson, who's now the coach at Indiana and was the offensive coordinator at OU, also coached tight ends and fullbacks at OU. And he always told me that Hanna would go to the combine and tear it up because it's kind of a decathlon type thing. And he's great. You know, he's a 4.5, 240 guy. He's a good bench presser. He's a, you know, high vertical jump guy. And that's what he did. I mean, James Hanna really impressed people. Now, James was hot and cold as a receiver at OU, dropped some passes, made some big catches like at Oklahoma State, but a little inconsistent, but, you know, that's kind of the way he is. But from a combine standpoint, he had to turn some heads, so that was good. So I think Oklahoma's going to be – I think they'll be represented more than any other school in the Big 12 in the draft. I think they'll have more players in it. Travis Lewis has not run a good 40 time that he wanted. I think the fastest he's run 4.72, but he weighed in at 242 pounds. So I think Travis is ready to go, and I think he'll get drafted somewhere in the draft. And those are kind of the guys. Jamel Fleming. Fleming had a great combine, and I always called him the silent assassin because he's so quiet, but he's lethal. He had some great hits. He always matched up against the other team's best receiver. And while everybody always said, this receiver will have the edge against OU, well, not necessarily. I mean, Demontre Hurst is very good as a cover guy on the field side and on the boundary corner. Jamel played that, and he was tremendous. And he had some great battles against Justin Blackman and some of the other receivers in the conference. I think he's going to go high in the second round. I think Brian's going to go high in the second round. And it'd be interesting to see where some of the other guys go, but I think OU is going to have a good representation in there, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Oklahoma will be represented well in the upcoming NFL draft. You're listening to the Senior Writer with OU Insider, James Hale. And I know, you know, Sooner fans, Oklahoma, they want to know who's going to fill that slot at the defensive end because that is such a key position. I mean, we've heard a lot about this junior college, Chaz Nelson.
Well, Chaz Nelson's a junior college defensive end that is really talented. Kaz Everett, Brandon Green. Well, they're having to make adjustments on the fly. They're the JUCO transfers that came in at semester. Probably Green has done the best job tight end. He and Taylor McNamara, a high school tight end from the San Diego area, one of the top two or three tight ends in the country last year, is also in a semester. And Bruce Kittle, the tight end coach, the other day came in to talk with us in the media, and we asked him about McNamara, and he said, well, he's quit telling me that he hates OU and that he wishes he didn't come. And that's good news. And, you know, because then he just laughed because he just think when we came in as freshmen, you know, we kind of worked our way in, but how tough it was, you know, coming out of high school, but you had all summer to get ready, right?
Right, right.
You know, when you're coming in at mid-semester, you have a week and a half, and you're throwing stuff in a duffel bag, you know, and your mother's trying to pack all your underwear and socks for you. And, you know, he can't find room for those. Mom, I'll buy those when I get there. No, you're going to pack them now. You know, there it goes. And so then he gets to OU, and he's told, you know, hey, you know, we got 24 hours in the day, and 21 of your hours are structured, and you can sleep the other three. That's kind of a whirlwind deal. So it's not necessarily the football. If all those guys have to do is play football, but it's the study hall. It's the meeting with the academic advisors. It's making sure you go to class. And at OU, they monitor how much you eat, you know, so make sure you're eating the right stuff. And everything's pretty scientific, you know. So it's been an eye-opener for those guys. But I think Chaz has taken some time to get used to it. I don't think he's overwhelmed anybody like he maybe thought he was going to. Same thing with Kaz. You know, Kaz is kind of running behind Lamar Harris at the boundary corner right now. He has played better the second half of spring. They take spring break off, and so he's played better. And, you know, I think he's put himself into the mix there. You know, so we'll see how it goes. I think for Kaz to get on the field, he's going to have to maybe beat out Gabe Lynn at that Roy position or Julian Wilson at the dime, because I think they're going to move Aaron Colvin to the boundary corner, and Lamar Harris will back him probably. So you've got those are kind of the factors. But I think Chaz Nelson, especially with the lack of depth right now at defensive end, I think he's got a chance to play in the rotation. And I think once he learns what's going on, he's really quick and fast, and I think he'll be a good pass rusher.
What about the other kid that the Charles Barkley lookalike, Charles Tapper? What have we heard about him?
Tapper,
we've got to throw some NBA conversation into the mix here.
The first guy I think that OU signed out of Baltimore. The fact it shows you how he's going national in the recruiting. They get a highly thought of player out of Baltimore, but he's a pass rushing fool. I think he's raw as a football player. He has played basketball. In fact, growing up, he thought he was going to be a basketball player. So he's got tall, he's got height, he's got length. I think that he's going to be a really, really good player. Can he play as a freshman? I think he's going to be really raw. I really see him redshirting, not playing a bunch. And they'll get Geno Gresham back from the toe injury, and Chaka Nadula is doing a good job at defensive end, and they like his prospects for the future and what he's bringing. You got David King, and R.J. Washington's a senior that has really come on since the second half of last year until this year. R.J. came out of the state of Texas as the number two defensive end in the country and really hasn't played much at OU, but he's going to play a bunch this year, and he's become a real team leader. So I know they graduated Ronnell and Frank at defensive end, but I still think if everybody's healthy, they're pretty good. But Tapper's the guy that I think for the future, they feel like they've got a really good player.
We are quickly running out of time with James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider. Let's take time to pause. And James, direct all of our listeners, because we're all throughout, we're in Oklahoma, but New Mexico and Colorado here in Texas. Tell all of our listeners where they can go and find out more about OU Insider.
Well, check us out. We're part of the 24/7 network, OUInsider.com. That's OUInsider.com. I think we do a great job. We cover recruiting. We cover OU. We cover every sport at OU. We focus on football. We focus on the main four sports or five sports. Got to put in that women's basketball, E.
Hey,
we cover those sports and cover them very, very hard. And I think people will enjoy it. We have fun. We have a message board that's a live message board with a wide range of topics. You can join. It's inexpensive. It's $9.99 a month, and you'll have some great coverage. And if you become a member of the 24/7 network, you can go to any of their sites. And, they do a great job. They have national recruiting guys and things. So I think it's well worth the money. And check us out. You can also get a free trial for a little bit. So you can find out for yourself if that's what you want to do.
Okay, my final question for you. I know we were highlighting and talking about Landry Jones just a moment ago, but who's going to be the backup? It is going to be Drew Allen or Blake Bell?
Well, I think Blake Bell's had a really good camp, but he hasn't separated himself from Drew. And I think the spring game may tell us a lot. I think they're going to play a bunch. I still think it's wide open. I still think it's up in the air. I think that Blake Bell is a real talented guy. And I think we underestimate the athletic ability of Drew Allen. When they do that decathlete stuff, he matches up with Blake and beats him on a lot of stuff. So you got two big, tall, strong, John Wayne-looking athletic quarterback guys, and they're both pretty good. But I think Bell maybe has had a slightly better spring. That maybe has just brought him even with Drew, because Drew went into the spring a little bit ahead of him. So we still have a major competition. And let's talk after the spring game, because maybe the spring game will tell us something.
That's right. We will definitely catch up with you again here real soon. And, James, excellent coverage. Thank you so much for getting us up to speed. And you take care. We'll talk real soon.
All righty. Thanks.
We're going to step aside, getting ready to talk some Mavs basketball with Bill Ingram.